Hello, everyone. This is Finding Your Joy Podcast, and I'm your host, Celinda Palmer. I'm a life coach, a professor, a mother, and a grandmother. This podcast is for people who know that it's possible to feel joy amidst the vicissitudes of life. How is it possible? You experience joy when you feel gratitude from the lessons learned, from the good, the bad, and the ugly. Good afternoon, everybody. I love to visit with you, even though it's not in person. I'm pretending I can see your beautiful faces and life, living life to its fullest. I would like to talk today on this podcast about marriage. Twoav. Do you remember Princess Bride? Marriage. That blessed arrangement, that dream with a dream, within a dream, that love, true love will bring us together. Anyway, in all seriousness, June 11th, I will have been married 43 years. I can't believe it. It seems like just yesterday. That's some days. Other days, it seems like eternity. Like my mom said once about her friend, why do I want to be with my family forever? I can't even stand them today. Yes, there are days like that, right? We're humans. Today, I'd like to use the metaphor that I got from President Hinckley that he uses with life, but I'd like to use it with marriage, is like an old-time rail journey with delays, sidetracks, smoke, dust, cinders, and jolts, interspersed only occasionally by beautiful vistas and thrilling bursts of speed. That might have been on my wedding day or night. The trick is to thank the Lord for letting me have the ride, and it has been a ride. First of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about, even though it's so long ago, see if I can remember how we even met, how we even got together 43 years ago. Well, 44 years ago, Jim's aunt was my church leader or young woman leader. And she said to me one day after Young Women's, my nephew is coming to town and he needs a date. And I thought, okay, like a blind date, like I won't see him till the night he comes. And then what if I don't want to go with him, or he's ugly, or he dresses weird? You know, I was a junior in high school. That's how mature I was. And she said, he's 21 and I was 17. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'll do you a favor. You owe me big time. Well, the rest is history. Actually, we went on the first date, and my story, I get to tell my story because Jim isn't on this podcast. He doesn't get to tell his side. I didn't feel like it went very well because we were in two different worlds. I was a city slicker, city girl, and he was a country boy, and we came from two different worlds. This is before the internet, so it's like people in Thatcher lived in outer space as far as I was concerned. I didn't know anything about them and he didn't know anything about me. Well, he shows up. Now you got to remember, this is the 70s. So this leisure suit, he dressed like my dad dressed, in his double knit pants with a white golf shirt on. I can still remember it. And I'm not that good about remembering what people wear. I can't remember what I wore last Sunday, but this was memorable because I'm a teenager with low ride jeans with big bells and a belt and the Farrah Fawcett hair and all set for the 70s high school. And he shows up in double knit maroon pants with a white golf shirt and even has hair on his chest. Ah, so he shows up and my mom comes back to the bathroom and says, hey, if you don't want to go, I do. I thought, well, that is a recipe for disaster. When my mom wants to go with him, he looks way too old. So anyway, he asked me where we wanted to go. And I said, let's go to Scottsdale. I lived in Mesa. No friends would see me if I went to Scottsdale with somebody that looked as old as my dad. So we went on this date. We went to a movie, which at the time I hated movies. He tried to hold my hand and I told him that one of my fingers was going to sleep. That's how I got out of holding his hand. I was just so mature. Doesn't that sound like a junior in high school? And then he took me to eat So that was fun. I always liked to go out to eat, especially being a school teacher's daughter. We couldn't even get dessert or drinks when we went out to eat. So we got the whole shebang. That was awesome. I was impressed with that. Doesn't take much to impress me with going out to eat in a fancy restaurant. But anyway, I left to go live with my grandparents for a semester, and he stayed at ASU, and he wrote me letters. I remember getting the first letter. This is before internet or anything, and thinking, what? Can't believe he remembers me. I didn't have that great of a time. Apparently, he must have. My mother had a dream that we got married, and I said, that would be a nightmare. So funny to think back about how I thought about this. I have to say, as I was praying, studying my scriptures, living my life the best I could, my mind, my heart, everything changed because I got home in January and we started dating and we got engaged in April, married 2 weeks after I graduated from high school. So apparently I didn't care that I was seen with somebody that dressed like my dad. I can't tell you exactly what happened except for the Spirit. What I believe in my church, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when the Spirit tells you something, you follow it. I found that to be true my whole life. Sometimes I don't, but when I do, I'm really happy. And in this case, I did. I had no fear. People would say, were you afraid when you got married? I'm like, no. If you follow the Spirit, there is no fear. I moved away from home, 3 hours away in a farming community, lived in a trailer, in a van down by a river, no, eating government cheese. Now, I really moved a long ways away and lived a whole different life, but there was no fear because this was the right thing to do. This is the right person, the right time, and I knew it, and there wasn't any fear. So there's a little bit of background to how we met, and we've been having 43 years of fun ever since. Yeah, right. Life is supposed to be 50 crappy, 50 happy, right? I'll have to say, with all my research and self-help books and everything I've worked on the last 43 years, it is really hard to remember those things at the very beginning of my marriage that really bugged me about them. But I know they were there because there was times I was thinking, I married some crazy person that wasn't anything like I thought he was going to be. I do remember that part, but I seriously cannot dredge up a lot of things, which is good. That means I've worked really hard on that mantra that the past doesn't equal the future, to just simply put a label on it and move on. And it's not useful to go back to some of those stories, I guess, unless someone, it's a learning opportunity or something, but I seriously have forgotten so much of the pain. But I know that that's how you learn to get along with other people, is by going through, you know, hard things together. I'd like to share, I think it's about five. I'm not a math teacher. I'm a psychology and a reading teacher. And so I think it's five secrets again. We're always talking about secrets. I don't know, strategies, tips, doesn't have to be secret. But maybe I know something after being married 43 years. The first tip I want to share is to love your marriage by loving yourself. Now, my husband and I were talking about this earlier today. And I said, you know we're supposed to love God first, but I can't love God if I don't love myself. Because if I don't love myself, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel the Spirit. So first of all, I need to love myself. Know that I am of value without anything I do. And that I am worth it. And that I need to not hate myself or beat myself up. And when I love myself, then I love my Heavenly Father, and I will pray to Him, and I will ask Him for guidance and help. I will read His Word so that I learn more about Him, so I can have a better relationship. And then I will love my husband. I like to think of this, love your marriage by taking your care of yourself first. As I was talking with my granddaughter, Brindy, today, I love this story she shared with me. I was going to get some donuts, I know, naughty stuff, with her today. And I said, Brynn, did you know what grandma does? She goes, yeah, you help people with problems. I go, she says, and I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? She says, my little sister drives me crazy. She's so annoying. And I said, tell me about why she's so annoying, like a good life coach does. And she told me specific situation that happened today. And she chose to be annoyed. She chose to think she's bugging the heck out of her and that she's annoying her. And she said, and grandma, I'm immature. I'm young. So I'm probably going to just keep hating her for a while. I said, well, that's your choice. But when you're ready, you know, you can have a different emotion, have a different thought. We've talked about that before. But I thought that was so funny. She probably, Brindy needs to take care of herself first. There's probably some things within that she hasn't fully accepted about herself, so she can't accept her sister yet, or really have a full relationship with her Heavenly Father, or eventually have this marriage until she learns this relationship thing. But isn't it wonderful how it starts? So simple and innocent. She's trying to learn not to be annoyed by her sister. This is same thing as marriage. They're going to have little things that they do that are so annoying. For example, Jim likes to watch all these old Westerns. I could think that's so annoying just to sit there. So boring to me. I want to be outside and snowboarding or skiing and I'm in Thatcher. So just cartwheels and doing the slip and slide and being outside and having fun. And I could be annoyed by him sitting there watching TV. But I realize I need to change my thought to he gets to do what he likes. I get to do what I like. And that will bring me a feeling of peace. And then I will treat him totally different. Brindy treats her sister. I asked her what she did. She says, I do mean things to her. I bug her. See, so we act out of that emotion of annoyance or hate. Our actions have to do with how we feel. And then the result is we won't have a good relationship with our husband. And right now she said she's not ready to have a good relationship with her sister yet. But when she's ready, it's so simple, right? It's those sentences in our brain, those thoughts we think they're facts. We could think our husband is just annoying, or our husband doesn't think anything like we do, and we're never going to get along. That could be your thought. When you think that thought, you're going to have a whole different set of emotion and actions and result than if you just think, hey, people are supposed to be different, but I can choose love because it's a thought that he has amazing talents and gifts. And that will change my emotion to love. It comes from that thought that I choose to think. And then I will treat him a whole different way. And the result is we will have a good relationship because of the thought, not because of what he does for me or says to me or anything powerful. Love yourself first. Get to know yourself, what you like to do, what you believe in, how you like to feel, what kinds of things you like to do, and then you'll be able to love your Heavenly Father and your spouse. The second strategy or key is to throw out the manual. I've talked about this before. I had a set of rules or expectations for Jim to be exactly like my dad. Now, my dad is a master communicator. He taught speech and communications, and my mom said he was always a good communicator, even before he studied this in college. He would listen. He would look at you and listen and give you specific feedback or sincere feedback. And I thought Jim would be just like that. And when he wasn't, I thought, oh dear, I must have married the wrong person. I thought he was going to be a good listener and that he would just look at me instead of his cell phone or his Westerns. I also thought, because my dad was, of course, when I was comparing Jim to my dad was much older and had more experience and had a lot of lessons in life and had learned some of these skills, where Jim is just at the beginning of his marriage. And I thought he was going to tell me how wonderful I was every day and how beautiful I was. And I think I've shared this before on a podcast when I said, how come you never tell me I look pretty? He told me, he gave me the best advice anyone could give a marriage partner is go look in the mirror and tell yourself you look beautiful. You know you look beautiful. I can tell. I can feel your confidence. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't feel good to have them tell us once in a while, but we can't make them. How does it feel to you if your husband had this list of expectations and say, okay, I want you to not work. I want you to clean the kitchen. I want you to clean the whole house. When I come home from work, I want it to all be clean. I want all the children to be dressed and their faces clean, their hair really well kempt. And then I want you just to sing songs to me. I mean, this is how ridiculous this is when we have these expectations and this set of rules for somebody else. And humans don't want to follow someone else's set of rules. It just doesn't work out well. Okay, the third strategy I think is important is to make a list of three of the happiest moments of your marriage. I have to say the wedding day, that was first happiest moment. And it wasn't, I'm not about foo-foo, all the flowers and my dress and my where we held the wedding at, we were in a beautiful place and all of that was perfect. But just the feeling I had inside of how much I loved my husband when I looked across the, and you can look in these mirrors in the temple and see forever and think of how much fun we were going to have, how much joy we were going to have in our life because I loved him so much and I loved myself as much as I could at that point in my maturity. And so my wedding day, the second happiest moment that I wrote down when I'm trying to improve my marriage was when we had our first child. I can still remember it was better than Christmas. We went to the hospital back in those days. You did not know what you were going to have. And luckily, I was only in labor for 4 hours. But when the baby came out and the doctor lifted him up, and this doctor, Dr. Curtis, I love Dr. Curtis, but he wasn't a real excited, show his emotion kind of person. He was quite serious and quiet. I hear this, and it's a boy. I've never heard that kind of a voice or emotion come out of Dr. Curtis, but that's how exciting it was to hold this precious soul in my arms and think that we created this beautiful child, Bradley James Palmer, and that he was mine. He was mine to raise and to teach and to bring up in the ways that our Heavenly Father wanted me to. And it was the most exciting feeling. It's almost so hard to even explain. My third happiest moment, this is really hard because we really have a lot of fun, was probably going on trips together. The last one we took was to drive up the coast to visit our kids in Vacaville. We just took our time. I was out of school and stopped at hotels when we felt like sleeping, walked along the beach, stopped in shops, stopped and just talked all day, ate food that looked delicious, just kind of meandered up the coast and hardly any people were around. They were really small towns. Just that meditation. There would be silence. It wasn't like we talked all the time. Then we shared our thoughts and feelings. It was just this closeness that we developed through 43 years of marriage. And this trip was just a culminating event of the 43 years. Okay, that's three, isn't it? Now we're on four. We need to recognize that when we act a certain way, the other person is mirroring back to us who we are. So whatever we're upset about in them, or if we're really nice to them, they usually mirror back that good emotion too, like I said with that Brindy story. But if I'm thinking about how annoyed I am because Jim has to watch football game after football game after football game, then I'm mirroring back the things I like to do over and over and over and over and over again. And I could be quite annoying too because I love to learn about self-help. I can be listening to podcasts over and over and over again, reading books about improving your relationships, learning how to create your own business. And that could be ad nauseum over and over and over again to him. So I'm mirroring back. I feel like he's watching football games, but I'm watching podcasts over and over and over. So the good thing when you realize mirroring, how mirroring happens, is if I want to come into the room and ask him about his day and what went well, what didn't, and if he feels like talking, he's not in the middle of the game, then he's going to mirror back to say, oh, well, how was your day? We really have this sensation going on with our best friends, our spouses, or our significant other or whatever, is we mirror their emotions. Okay, number five. And I've talked about this before. This is probably going to be on my gravestone, is to really listen. I was taught this from the time I was little and it has served me well my whole 61 years. And that is, you can't say this enough because in today's technologically advanced world, we really struggle with this communication skill. So we need to look at people. Stop looking at our phones. Stop looking at our computers. Quit watching TV and look that person in the eye. Unless, of course, it's someone who has a culture that isn't appropriate with our spouses, though we're talking about marriage. Stop and look at them and focus on what they're saying. Now, it's going to be tempting because I know I can start thinking about what I just read, the podcast I just listened to, what I'm going to eat for dinner, what grandkids coming over, what craft we're going to make, but just focus on what he's saying and then giving sincere feedback and specific reinforcement about what he's saying. And then Like, it's a three-step thing, is listening, looking right at them, and keeping my thoughts on what he's saying, then giving him feedback. Then if I have something I want to share, I'm going to ask a question rather than just blurt it out. Could I share something with you? And of course, can't demand it, but I haven't ever had anyone say no when you listen intently. In fact, I tell my college students that this is a real trick. Like, it's not really manipulative, it's sincere, but to get a date or to have a boy fall in love with you, who wouldn't fall in love with someone that really listened and gave honest, sincere feedback? Whoa, that's just a powerful tool. And number six, research, and this is a short one, but research consistently shows that touching creates a stronger bond because of the oxytocin. Now, what my husband does, you think I would be the romantic one, but what my husband makes sure he does every day consciously, I asked him about this, why he did it. He didn't know about the oxytocin, but he just said he knew this would keep us more than just roommates, is every morning before he leaves, he wakes up and gives me a kiss. And that touching is so important. We forget. We really get to be where we live together for so long. We're like, hi, bye, pass in the hall, give each other a high five. And hi, there's nothing wrong with high fives and wrist and bumps, fist bumps. But in the marriage situation, a kiss or a touch or a hug is so important to feel closer to each other. It's actually this chemical, scientifically based, that brings us closer together. Okay, like I said in the beginning, this marriage or this ride we're on has delays and sidetracks and cinders and jolts and some beautiful vistas and occasional bursts of speed, but we will be successful and love and have joy. Like I like to say, we have joy in the journey. Not that every day is happy. We know it's supposed to be 50 crappy, 50 happy, but then we can experience all the emotions and change those sentences in our brain to be able to handle these challenges and happiness in life. All right, signing off. Six tips for a successful marriage. I guess I should close with my Princess Bride marriage. That blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream, and wav, whoo, wav. Love you, Jim. Thank you so much for tuning in to Finding Your Joy podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to share with your friends. Also, remember to subscribe, because when you do, they come right into your feed and you won't miss a single episode. If you have questions about anything I've talked about on this podcast, go to Finding Your Joy Coaching with Professor Palmer and shoot me an email or sign up for complimentary coaching.